In an interstellar spectacle that has sent shockwaves across the cosmos, the formidable Thargoid Titan Tyrannus has met its demise, marking a momentous milestone in our galactic narrative. Pilots from every corner of the galaxy, a veritable vanguard of valor, converged in the Hyades Sector FB-NB7-6 system, their sights set on the seemingly insurmountable. The Titan Tyrannus, a behemoth of biomechanical belligerent brilliance, presumed impervious to our best, has been brought to its knees, or rather its thermal vents, by the cunning combination of Guardian Nanite torpedoes, knitting nanas, flying nanas for scale, and a few deadly panatacks. These diminutive but devastating destroyers have fandangoed a deadly dance, forcing the fearsome facade of the Titan to falter, flay open, and finally fail. Its layers were finally peeled over, it keeled, keening keenly. Spectators to this space-spanning skirmish were not just the brave souls piloting their vessels into the vortex of victory, which is code for Vulcarius kick Tyrannus in the rocks, but also a veritable army of astrogazers and paparazzi. Each vying for a view, these cosmic chroniclers may well have played a pivotal part in the Titan's downfall. The constant surveillance, the relentless recording, did it distract, deter, or otherwise discombobulate the gargantuan guardian? One wonders if the incessant flashes of camera drones, the buzzing of broadcast bots, and the relentless reportage riled the Thargoid's temper, contributing to its catastrophic capitulation. As Tyrannus' tumultuous termination was closely observed, a massive maelstrom of energy erupted, repulsing all in its radius with a force fierce enough to etch itself into the annals of history and the retinas of anyone who was staring straight at it. And yet, amidst the chaos, the cloud of intensely corrosive gas that now shrouds the site serves as a somber reminder of the savage struggle and the enigmatic end of 1/8 of an era. The victory, while vivid and valiant, leaves us to ponder the profound implications of this pulsating puzzle. As the dust settles and the gas dissipates, what tales will we tell of the Titanic tussle? How will the galaxy greet the news of this gargantuan downfall? And what of the paparazzi, whose persistent presence permeated the fray? Were they mere witnesses to wonder, or did they, in their quest for the quintessential shot, shift the scales in favour of the fearless fighters? As we postulate on the paparazzi, let us not forget the fleet of fearless, who with fortitude and finesse face the formidable forging ahead into the fray. The destruction of the Thargoid Titan Tyrannus by the collective courage of commanders across the cosmos marks a monumental moment in our ongoing odyssey, a testament to the tenacity of the human spirit, the triumph of teamwork, and the tantalizing promise of tomorrow. Oh, and there are 7 more to go.
In the bubble bit of the Milky Way, where the line between friend and foe blurs into the vast unknown, the Thargoid cult and their pacifist counterparts, unaffectionately dubbed the Hug a Thargoid cult, stand in stark contrast to the galaxy's prevailing martial spirit. These congregations, united in their fascination and adoration for the Thargoids, find themselves at a crossroads as news of the Thargoid Titan Tyrannus' destruction spreads like wildfire across the stars. One cannot help but wonder, will sections of humanity mourn the absence of the Thargoids, those enigmatic architects of hyperdictions, creators of mysterious gargling noises, and the minds behind the mystifying barnacle spires and titans? The phenomena, once sources of dread and wonder alike, have woven themselves into the fabric of our galactic lore. The potential void left by their anticipated departure raises questions about our place in the universe and a relationship with the unknown. Enter Zachary Rackham, a name synonymous with audacity and ambition. Rumours swirl like nebulae that he's concocting a scheme as grandiose as it is luminous, towing a Thargoid Titan to a secret location, retrofitting it with batteries, big speakers and LED lights to inaugurate his own Titan theme park. A venture aimed not just at profit, but at preserving the memory of encounters with the Thargoids, allowing humanity to relive the exhilaration and terror in equal measure. Will this monument to human curiosity and ingenuity become a beacon drawing souls from across the galaxy to marvel at once what once was? As we stand on the brink of potentially turning the tide against the Thargoid menace, we are faced with a poignant conundrum. What becomes of those who force their livelihoods in the fires of conflict? The manufacturers of anti-Thargoid weaponry, the spectre of peace, while a balm to many, threatens the purpose and prosperity of these artisans of armaments. Will they, as ancient proverbs suggest, be compelled to beat their swords into plowshares, trading the art of war for the art of agriculture? Could the fields of battle transform into fields of grain as humanity seeks new frontiers in the tranquil pursuit of farming and creation? As we navigate these tumultuous waters, teeming with potential and peril, the actions we take and the paths we choose will sculpt the narrative of our shared future. The Thargoid followers, the Hug a Thargoid advocates, the entrepreneurs dreaming of interstellar amusement parks, and the weaponsmiths pondering their place in a peacetime economy, all are threads in the intricate tapestry of our cosmic journey. In the dance of destruction and diplomacy, of conflict and camaraderie, we find the essence of our existence. A reminder that in the vast, star-studded embrace of the galaxy, we are eternally intertwined with the unknown.
Week 83 of the Too Hot, Too Messy saw commanders collectively pass 123,000 deliveries. With numbers maintaining a slight but steady upward trend, with almost 1,200 deliveries in the week. This is enough to maintain the rise in the four-week average to just under 1,100. Congratulations go to Commander Waller 81, who yesterday racked up an astonishing 20,000 deliveries. Or, to put it another way, one in six of all mugs delivered. Well done. Also, Commander Norbert Patenaud became the 18th member of the 1,000 Club. Well done there too. Hun is expanding and gym production at the Orbital is up to 21 units. So stock up on yours now whilst the expansion lasts. Traffic is still very light at the Orbital, so the approaches are congestion free and you'll be getting on the landing pad on first request. Oh, and we've got one! Torquay Mouse made the Hutton Run in 1 hour, 39 minutes and 41 seconds. And the curly whirly shortage is over, people. We are fully stocked again.
Sorry, I've lost the tab with the script on it. Trying to find it.
It doesn't say that at all.
It doesn't say that in my script.
Did we go off script?
I've lost it. Yeah. Has anyone got a link quick?
Well, we sing. I'll sing to you. Do you want to sing? Oh, somebody must have a birthday. Can we sing happy birthday to somebody?
I don't know. I mean, we don't have any birthdays, do we?
No.
Anybody got a link?
Hold on. I will get you a link.
Okay. Seamless.
There you go.
Something.
One link.
Scriptless.
The tab's open. Right.
Yeah, I'll teach you to go shopping.
You got it, Flossie?
Okay, yes, thank you, yeah. The latest puzzle to perplex the team over at the Orbital comes courtesy of the Alpha Centauri Gold Brotherhood. This local space biker gang, notorious for their revelry and less for their astronomical achievements, has recently declared a drought in their ranks, a claim that has left many scratching their helmets in confusion, given their notable absence of any planet, settlement, space station or installation ownership. To unravel this enigmatic statement, we dispatched our intrepid roving reporter, Cassia Cosmo Jetstream, deep into the heart of the Alpha Centauri system. Well, sort of outside the orbital, really. Her mission? To get to the bottom of this drought declaration and glean some clarity about the situation. Upon docking at a discreet outpost frequented by the Brotherhood, Cassia met with Knuckles McRae, a high-ranking member of the Alpha Centauri Gold Brotherhood, known for his expansive beard as much as his expansive knowledge of the Brotherhood's inner workings. The drought, Oh, that's no mystery, Nichols chuckled, the sound echoing off the metal walls of the dimly lit establishment. It's the beer, you see. Our stocks ran dry faster than a comet hurtling through a black hole. The revelation underscores a fundamental challenge faced by such a nomadic group, spending their days travelling end-to-end of Alpha Centauri and sending messages in supercruise about booty and juicy cargo. Without a fixed location to call home, the Brotherhood's logistical capabilities are as fleeting as their sobriety. But how does a faction without a fixed address run out of beer? Cassia probed, her curiosity piqued. Knuckles leaned in, as if sharing a state secret. Turns out the chap responsible for our supply runs thought it'd be funny to turn off the stopcock in our quarters. Left us high and dry in a literal sense. Took us a week to figure out he'd been siphoning off to fund his own little venture on the side. The situation, while initially dire, has not dampened the spirits of the Brotherhood. Instead, it has become a testament to their resilience and ingenuity in the face of adversity, and of their addiction to beer. We're a resourceful bunch, Nichols asserted with pride, and let's just say we've found alternative means to ensure the drought doesn't become a recurring theme. Which sounds a lot to us like he's found the pipes that feed the gin bottling plant at Hutton. Either that or he's in for a nasty shock when he realises they run alongside the ones from Cubicle 3.
Things are going through somewhat of a can it really be spring in space vibe in Hutton Orbital this week, and six systems have wound up on Alvin's report, mostly only just, and another is feeling a bit thirsty. More on those stories coming up. After Ross 671's almost permanent grip on the wooden spoon was relinquished 3 weeks ago, new systems have continued to take turns to carry the baton. Barnard Star snatched it from last week's holder Narnia, beating the previous week's holder Epsilon Indy by a gnat's crotchet, both on 32. Hutton have few concerns in Barnard Star as the rest of the factions are still having their share of a civil war, three civil unrests, a famine, a pending outbreak, and a pair of busts. As just mentioned, hard-to-move Epsilon Indy is also on 32, having dropped a point from last week. Almost a quarter of system influence is tied up in a civil war for the next few days, so leave it until next week before attempting to boost Hutton numbers. We have a 5-point gap to the third worst system, Leuton 145-141, and only 2 points separated it and the other three systems in Alvin's report, Ross 671 and Hilparsai, both on 38, and Stein 2051 on 39. It appears that Hutton can no longer rely on the mad monks of Van Marnen to keep them supplied with tonic wine, as the dysfunctional dipsomaniacs have drunk the lot, leaving the system both high and dry. Shipping water supplies to the large pads in O'Connor City so that they can turn water into tonic wine. Not currently in conflict, in Trepin, the collective of independent agents have come within 5 points of Hutton a couple of times in the last few weeks. God Emperor Hanky is managing the situation single-handedly, well, literally since he broke his wrist, and with it the Pythias woes, and he would appreciate some assistance in widening the gap. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have 5 systems above 60%, one of which is over 70, and we are expanding again. Priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, boost Barnard Star and Trepin, and slake the drought in Van Marnen Star.
Mostly seamless.